What's up? This Bacon is my podcast. I'm Jimmy.
I am Mike.
And we are proud to be part of the Deluxe Edition Network. That is right, The Den.
That's right. Hashtag The Den. We are part of an awesome network with a number of fantastic podcasts, such as History I'd Like to Fuck, mm-hmm. or Hilf Podcast, Barrel Age Chicks, Barrel Age Flicks,
yeah.
Spoil My Movie, Deluxe Edition Podcast. Man, I could go on forever.
You could, but we won't, so you can go
Beard
watch.
Laws.
Go listen, go watch, check them all out now.
In
Deluxe
a pickle.
Deluxe Edition Network.
Right now, deluxeeditionnetwork.com. Follow it on social medias, Deluxe Edition Network.
What's your bacon? What's up, buddy?
Ew. I know it's cold.
Indeed.
So you want to get the sweaters going.
No. I reject that. And I'll tell you why.
Why would you do that?
Well, you don't put gloves on furry hands, do you?
Well, no.
No, you don't. So you know what? I like to keep my beanbag clean like my palms.
Yes.
That's right.
The Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra is out now. It's got the skin safe technology you're
yes,
used
it
to.
Does.
It's got the LED light like you're used to.
It's
but this one, it's got the foil blade.
Oh my God, the foil blade. It's nice for the crevasse.
Exactly. So it, you know, hooks up your nether regions.
Goes right up the Mississippi on the one side and the Rio Grande on the other side.
Exactly. So go to manscaped.com, use the promo code BACONPOD for 20% off, plus free shipping.
Yeah, indeed.
And it's not even just for this, right?
No, it's for anything on there.
Exactly, especially...
Our favorite,
the crop mops, the ball and butt wipes. If you see us, we always give them out.
We'll hand them to you.
Exactly.
They'll
but
be in the package, it's okay.
If you don't see us, manscaped.com, promo code BACONPOD, 20% off of those bad boys.
Free shipping.
Mm-hmm. And always remember to ask yourself...
What's your bacon?
Apologize.
Ah, no worries, man.
It happens.
Hey,
number one is here.
Yeah. I'm the apologizer, and normally I'm never late, so I've messed up twice today.
When they come on, we'll just give them shit for big time and us the whole time.
Yes. Yeah, for big time.
All right, here's another person. Look at that.
How we doing?
We're good, man. We're just talking about how you guys were big-timing us this whole time.
Oh, you know, like... dude, you know, I try not to say anything, but, you know, when the cards are down.
Bacon! Bacon is my podcast! Bacon! Bacon! Bacon is my... Bacon! Bacon is my podcast! Bacon!
I was actually, I'm excited because you guys are the first band that has pitched to us through our website.
Yeah.
Oh, sick.
And that we brought on the show.
Yes.
We've had other pitches.
Important distinction.
We had other pitches.
that we listened to and said, oh, yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We do, by the way, anybody listening, we do listen to every single person that comes past.
And if you're listening and you pitch to us, sorry to, it's, that you just found out now.
Sorry.
Yeah. But
we didn't like
but
it.
But then I found out, like, it was only like a few days later. It was a few days later. I think it was, like, on a post. You guys must have played in, I don't know what you played, but you played something with our buddy Leah. Laugh out loud. Mm. It was Leah.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey. Those guys just pitched to play with, you know, come right, do right. this, and you know.
What's
and
up?
I was asking her about you guys, and she said nothing but horrible things.
Yeah,
good.
So we were like,
good.
We got to.
She was truth.
So I was like, yeah, well,
yeah,
you know, yeah. So, but guys, welcome to the show, Mark and Chris from Further North. What's
Thank you so on, much. Dudes?
We're all here in the same clothes, pretending it's a different day. It's fantastic.
We're all wearing black shirts, yeah? We got the memo?
Under here, it's black shirts.
There you go. Oh. There you go. Y'all are doing logos. I'm doing the deep B.
right?
Yeah. No, I just do band shirts.
Well, we're all dressed like Warped Tour runners, you know, so.
Right.
That's the way. That's the way.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely.
That's how we do it.
Yeah, Misfits, no are, they played on Warped Tour, right?
Yeah, but I could be a runner for Warped Tour. Black hoodie, Misfits shirt.
Yeah,
that's 100%.
I'm just 100%. Bringing in these waters. Yeah,
get my story of the year. Story of the year. That's definitely a Warped Tour runner shirt for sure.
We just iced the sidewalks. We just iced the sidewalks. Oh. Bro.
I gotta tell you.
If nobody's been to Warped Tour in Texas, that's a thing.
Right.
They ice the sidewalks because it's 165 degrees on the ground.
Yeah. Dude, yeah. Well, in New York,
the asphalt gets to a cool 300 degrees.
Yeah.
In New York, they use two different venues, right? It started at Randall's Island, and Randall's Island is basically just a bunch of dirt.
It's just dirt.
It's just flat out dirt, and that's it. You were blowing black boogers for like a week and a half. It was awful.
For sure.
And then they moved it to the Nassau Coliseum parking lot.
Right.
Which was just blacktop.
Yep.
Concrete jungle.
So it was, 107 degrees. It was awful. Which is, I can only imagine what Warped Tour was like in Texas, because I told the story a few times.
Yeah, we were at So What
in 2022. And luckily we were in the press box, but every once in a while we were like, oh, well, we got to go down, and man, it was on like on a baseball field. And we got out to the baseball field and it's like, this fucking sucks. it is May.
That's why they built the new Rangers stadium, is because that one wasn't having it in the middle of summer.
Right.
Dude.
Right.
Yeah. But it was May. It was like, it was May. And I was like, this is awful. Like, what?
Yep.
Who wants to do this? This is terrible.
Yep. It was May 29th, dude. May 29th, 2022. And it was an absolute scorcher.
They always had an awesome way of making Warped Tour during like one of the four hottest days of the summer here. I don't know how Lyman did that, but it was always like July 1st when it was like
right. Yeah,
it was. It was always that way though. Like,
it seemed like the right time to do this here.
Warped Tour was always the hottest day of whatever city that they were in. I've done like a Warped Tour in Jersey, and it's just like,
it has to be the hottest day, or you can't sell $13 waters. Well,
true. Very true.
Yeah, dude, it's one of those things where like somebody had to have had an almanac, and they were like, right, hottest day. Okay, cool. Yeah, here we go.
We got it. Can we do that? Why do that? Right?
Why is Pittsburgh and California 2 days between each other? Because it's the hottest day. Right. That's why we gotta.
They're
we
not gotta hitting hit all a our break. Base. We're putting them in hell.
You guys, your music is a lot of fun.
Thank you.
You guys,
Happy Sunday sad songs, some of our favorite.
Yeah,
some of our favorite kind.
Yeah, it's definitely got some like heavier Bowling for Soup vibes and a little bit of like Four Year Strong vibes and stuff going on, and I really like that. I really like that. It's a lot of fun for me. But Chris, earlier you were talking about how you did a hardcore show in Long Island a long time ago and stuff. So is that, I find that nowadays, as we become dads and dadcore becomes a thing, like some people, they get heavier, but the heavy guys, they're like, well, it's just going to do pop punk. Is that kind of what happened with you guys?
Yeah. I mean, I the namesake right here, I grew up on Blink and like, pre-American Idiot, Green Day.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always loved punk rock and like pop punk, but I also got introduced to like real hardcore and like New York stuff, like Madball and Cro-Mags.
Right. Yeah.
So I've gone from that. I lived in Boston for a while. Super heavy into like Boston straight edge.
Yeah.
So like Have Heart is my number two favorite band ever.
Nice.
So yeah, I've always been a hardcore kid. I've played in multiple hardcore bands. I've tried to be a data member in other pop punk bands, it's just kind of part of the way that I play guitar. It's just a little chunkier, a little heavier. It's just been that. Yeah. It's, as long as I can remember, that's how Mark and I are both. We have our fair share of metal that we'll try to just mess with each other and just kind of bring in, like, I think we have a song called Now or Never, and live it's not, you know, not on the record, but live we do as many pinch harmonics like in a row as we can in this one lead. And it, if you don't know the song, it probably just sounds like a bunch of like crap all of a sudden. Yeah. But it's just like us just messing around. Yeah, it's, I mean,
it's part of the show, you know.
Yeah.
Well, if you can't ruin parts of your own songs live at a show, what are we doing? Oh, what are we doing this for?
Yes, we're the best at that.
Yes.
It's like there's the live experience and there's the record experience.
Yeah.
I've been known to change lines of the words in our songs to members of our band, their names, just to see if people notice.
Excellent.
And I don't have a problem with people like cussing in their music and stuff like that. It's not something that we do, and it's not something I'm a fan of personally, like for me. And so like if we do a cover and there's a cuss word in there or something like that, like I'll replace the cuss word with like, you know, Chris's name or AC, our drummer, and like I turn around and like point at them and, you know, stuff like that. Nice. So yeah, if you like you said, if you can't ruin your own show, like what are we coming here for?
Yeah, why are we even why are we here? I like the replacing cuss words in songs. I think there's an art to it, because I think replacing curse words anywhere, there's an art to it. And we gotta start the swear jar, because we've already filthy mouthed this whole episode a bunch.
Yeah.
We gotta watch that. We've talked about this.
We have.
We need a swear jar. But I think like I like when I see people do it and they've brought back like old timey words like lousy.
Nice. Lousy,
right? And they're like, you just loused it up.
Yeah,
these ragamuffins.
Yeah, ragamuffins.
You know what isn't
harlots?
Harlots. We call people rascals sometimes.
I like rascal.
Rascalion. Lost.
Yo,
I missed that one.
You know,
dadgum.
Dadgum. That's a good one.
Wow,
dude, that's a part of my daily vernacular. Like you can ask Chris. It's 1,000 a day.
Dadgum's a good one. Wow.
Our singer is a essentially like he was a youth pastor for years, so we've all had to like adapt how we talk, so we're not like
right
with the, you know, the dirty mouth band. So yeah, we have many words that we've replaced over the 6 years that we've been.
Oh, hamburgers!
It's like. It's just a bunch of like Will Ferrell scene.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Son of a nutcracker.
Yeah. Crackers. Elf every day. Every day elf.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Cool. So movies a ton too. So
I was talking with Chris at one point, like in the earlier iteration of the band. And it's one of those things for me where like cursing actually limits your audience.
Sure.
Because younger people may not be allowed to listen to it. Mm-hmm. There's more production cost that goes into doing a radio edit. All of these things are part of that. And it's like, we're forward thinking on our catalog. You know what I mean? Like Chris, having the business perspective, having done Warped Tour, having, you know, guitar tech for international touring bands and stuff like that. Like we're forward thinking. And at this point in my life, like anything that I make right now, I have no delusions of being an international touring music star. But I want my legacy to be something that anybody can consume, you know? And sure, that's kind of, that's the other part of where that comes in, is I don't want to limit my audience because of one word on a record.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I do know that I remember like, you know, when I was a kid, it was like, when you'd go to get like a CD, because I bought CDs.
Right.
They existed. Yeah.
If it had the parental advisory, like, oh, I was getting that one.
There's something to that.
I was getting it. I didn't know what I was going to hear, what I wasn't going to hear, but it had that sticker. And that meant someone didn't want me to listen to it, which meant I'm going to listen to it. But
there it is.
But the turn to that is, you're absolutely right. Like, it definitely does. It limits you to, it puts you in a box. You know what I mean? And it does make it harder to kind of share everything with everyone. So,
yeah. And in the same breath, I also don't want to discount somebody that's a part of their artistic expression. Like,
oh, sure.
I'm not condemning anybody that, you know, finds it necessary, that one particular phrase or term or whatever is necessary for that line. It's just that, like, for us, that's not something that we wanted in our catalog, mm-hmm. I guess. And I interrupted Chris to throw that out there. Sorry, Chris.
No, I was just gonna say, you know, we're generally a positive thinking band. Like if you most of our songs, even it may start in a gloomy or darker place, but we always try to throw it back to a, you know, just some sort of, it's like a Disney movie. Like there's always a lesson somewhere.
Right, right.
But
some kind of hope.
Yeah, some kind of hope.
Lined in there, yeah.
And it's hard to do that whenever you're like, F this, F that.
right. Yep.
I don't want the one song that somebody is able to watch in a show just be full of
gloom and doom.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just bad, cuss, you know, cuss words this. We got to try to, the world's hard enough. You know, we really do try to give you 30 minutes that you don't have to think about the bad crap. You know what I mean?
That's it.
Sure. That's good, man.
And we do know that you don't feel that way about people who curse because the dude's wearing a Blink-182 shirt. I mean,
nailed it.
I learned because of this band.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, language is awesome. All words are awesome. All words are available. All words are usable
and made up.
Just all words are made up.
Yeah. Dude, that's the one right there. We can never forget that.
Yeah.
That's a made up word. All words are made up.
All words are made up.
Right.
So intent is super important. And but then also, like, it is true that, like, there's certain phrases and certain things that people will automatically shut a door on.
Yeah. Sure.
You know?
Sure.
And sometimes you want to leave that door open. Sometimes you want to push that button.
That's super fair.
Sometimes. What do you not like me saying? Oh.
Well.
Listen here, Dad.
I wrote this down. Yeah.
That's fine.
You, Chris, you mentioned that you guys were going to be in the Midwest this summer. So what is happening in the world of further north here coming up?
We being dads, obviously, we don't get a whole bunch of time to get out of DFW. But we just, you know, we're able to plan some stuff this summer and a little bit this fall with some cool bands, you know, some bands that are sort of, to us, they're you know, bigger.
We haven't announced the lineup yet, have we?
I'm getting pretty excited because it's almost time to grill.
It's always time to grill. You know why?
I know.
Because I use grillyourassoff.com. All their stuff is fucking fantastic.
Well, I will say you don't even have to grill outside, even though you do all year round. I don't all year round, but I use all their stuff inside as well.
Yes, exactly.
So I still get the flavors.
Exactly. Everything from their seasoning to their sauces to their hot sauces. And you know what? They also provide delicious snacks.
They do. We actually tried some on the show. We got some cowboy-style beef jerky right here. Their jerky is really, really good.
It's really flavorful, really delicious, and you can have your own if you go to grillyourassoff.com.
Indeed.
If you go to grillyourassoff.com, use a promo code BACON, and you get 10% off your entire order.
Nice.
And not only will you be helping us out, but you'll be helping out veterans and first responders.
Yeah.
Because this company is veteran owned and it's super badass and we love these guys. Almost a day one sponsor with this show.
That's true.
And we are going to support them forever. Super
cool
guys.
Check out their site. Check it out. Taste the freedom. If you don't know what you want to get, go ahead and use their product finder quiz.
Yes.
Set yourself up. Figure something out right now over at grillyourassoff.com.
And always remember to ask yourself,
what's your bacon?
What's your bacon?
Or what's on your bacon?
Bunker bacon bourbon barbecue sauce. Yeah. That's what's up. Hey. It's me. I'm the problem. It's me.
I don't think you're the problem. You know what the problem is? Nobody knows where to find us online. That's the problem.
Well,
they're
I think there's...
Sometimes I go to YouTube. Sometimes I want to go to Spotify. Sometimes, how do I know where I can find everything bacon?
You know what there is? There's one place that has everything, all-encompassing. It's baconismypodcast.com.
A solution!
Exactly! You ever want to listen to our music?
Yeah.
Or know where to find us on YouTube?
Yeah.
Or on Apple Music?
Yeah.
Spotify?
Yes.
Maybe grab some shirts.
Check find out some sponsor.
Find some sweet deals on some sodas from drinkwildbills.com, or maybe some beard product from Mythical Beards.
Maybe you want to pick up a Poddex.
Use the promo code BACON on all of those websites and get 10% off. But if you can't remember that, just go to baconismypodcast.com, hit sponsors. You're right there. Yeah. Tells you everything.
Find everything about us. Leave us a comment. Ask us a question. And always remember to ask yourselves every single day.
What's your bacon?
What's your bacon?
No, we can say it here. You know, it's not a big
when
deal.
When does this?
Well,
come
this
out. Let's
come out.
Let's tell you when Hold it's going to come out, and that way you
it's can, not it's not this Monday.
You'll have a better idea. Monday. I think it's in 2 weeks.
So the 29th.
29th. This will drop.
Oh yeah. I was going to announce it on the first, anyways.
Okay,
sweet.
I mean, we're here in DFW. There's another band called Brave Days that they're
the Deep Homies.
Nice. Yep. And they're playing Audio Feed, and they wanted somebody Audio Feed in Chicago. They're playing, and they wanted somebody to run with them back to Texas. So we just decided that we were going to spend, you know, 9 or 10 days on the road, just
awesome,
and throughout the Midwest. So we initially were going to do it with another band that got better offers from Hawthorne Heights. So nice. Okay. We had to, you know, obviously we had to let them bow out of that and do their thing, because that'd be just,
with love, yeah, and right. Like yeah. Super hype for them.
I don't know if you like it's such a wild lineup too, because it changes. Yeah. It's it's them, Emery,
yeah,
Icy Stars,
and like Cartel's on that. It's like a Cartel, random genre. That's nuts. I can't. It's crazy to me how massive Hawthorne Heights has stayed over
the
10 years.
Yeah,
and they do that. It's for Lovers Fest.
Yeah,
is for Lovers Fest too. And they hit, it's like seven to 10 cities. And
right.
It's all like, and they know their place too. I think that's the big thing too, is they're like,
that's it.
All right, we're putting this together, but also we're not necessarily the biggest band on this bill just because we put it together.
Right.
But yeah, so they always stack their lineups.
Yeah.
We were going to. This tour originally, we can talk about it now. It's not a big deal, especially if it's coming out that close to the first. We have some friends from Ohio called a band named Life and Idol.
Okay.
And they were the original one that we're just going to go do the 2 weeks with. And then Hawthorne Heights hit them up and want them to play like 5 or 6 of those Is for Lovers. So we told them, like, you guys would be crazy if you went with us and not them. So go do that.
Right, yeah.
Literally,
yeah. No way. Like that's such a bigger career move than it would be to just run around town with us,
dude. What are you talking about? Like not going on tour with Further North?
Yeah,
I mean, I sincerely hope that you guys are like passively aggressively really making them feel bad as much as possible.
Well, so it's funny, like their singer. We were talking about them still playing there, because we were going to start the tour in Dayton, Ohio, which is where Hawthorne Heights is from also.
Right, right.
Life and Idol's from there too. And they were like, well, we can be your local band if you want. And I was like, oh, yeah, because you guys are like too cool and you have to go do whatever with that whatever bigger band. Like, I get it, you know. It's
that
all
bigger band.
Yeah, that band that was whatever big for a while.
I guess if that's what you, I guess if friendship isn't as important to you as
right,
touring with Hawthorne,
as touring with Hawthorne Heights,
maybe not Emery. Yeah,
we're doing.
I guess, you know,
we're doing 8 or 9 days through the Midwest. Everywhere we're going, Chicago. We're going to
doing Columbus.
No, not Columbus. Just Dayton.
Dayton. That's right. That's right. Dayton,
Ohio. Yeah, we're playing some shows. I've been touring since I was 18 in whatever different kind of facets I've been able to do it in. But a lot of Further North hasn't really been out of Texas too much, especially like that far out.
Okay.
Right.
So, it's cool. You know, we're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be just 5 guys and a tour manager / photographer / band mom, you know, in the van. So.
Nice. What kind of van did you get?
Learn how to do it.
What kind of van do we have?
Ford E. Ford E. 350. Yeah, the 16 yeah. P.
Mm-hmm. 16 passenger. 15.
Pull out that last row so we can fit our gear in the back. And
I was gonna say, are you pulling a trailer, or are you just kind of throwing it in the back?
No, I'm
Chris did this.
I'm a tech nerd. Like anything I can do to minimize what we have to bring with us.
Yeah.
I'm doing. And so we have an inner rack that has also a pull-out drawer on it that has a quad cortex in it.
Nice.
So we just run the entire band through that quad cortex.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
everybody doing one?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sick. A thing now.
It'll run four completely separate guitar steps.
I have a quad. I love it. So that's awesome.
It's funny too, because a lot of the guys that we've met that have a quad, like they're just using it for like their own chain.
Yeah.
And the beautiful part is they call it a quad because it can handle four inputs simultaneously.
Yeah.
And so we've got the bass on its own chain. And then Chris and I both have our own independent chains. And so we all plug into the same central point. And then that goes directly into the mixer and we're good to go. No,
now, are you guys using any like
program
switches
channel
or anything
switches.
Like that, channel switches, anything like that?
Yeah.
How are you handling
MIDI?
We ran everything off of Pro Tools for years.
Okay.
And yeah, I just got so fed up with Pro Tools that I bought Ableton and made myself learn how to use Ableton. And so we've got the whole show. We use backing tracks for some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We got the whole show ran through Ableton. And then, yeah, like probably 2 weeks ago, me and Mark were like, we don't want to be tap dancing at our feet anymore.
Right.
So we programmed it MIDI changed everything, and we've played two or three shows with it, and it's been
So nice.
So wild.
Yeah. What was that transition like though? What was the first couple times doing it like? I'm still tap dancing. I'm using it for me, and I'm kicking around the idea of using it for vocals and guitar, but like my other guitar player has a line six, my bass player has a line six. So we haven't consolidated yet. But
do it.
What was
like,
that?
So much love. I held out on Chris for what, 2 years?
Yeah.
On my orange.
I'm
running an orange with a 1979 Mesa 2x12, like the one that everyone wants.
Right.
I got it from a very good friend of mine for almost nothing. And so I've always been like hardcore about having my analog set up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I fought Chris and I fought him and I fought him, and that was the biggest mistake I ever made. Consistency and the pampered life that you live when your entire band is run off of a box this big and you don't have to carry everything around and get a hernia, and it's like everybody being able to run through that one thing is probably the saving grace of going out on the road at this point.
Yeah.
And then also with us being older, like I'm the youngest member of the band and I'm 35, I'm 36 in 2 months. And so it's like, dude, we don't need to be carrying around 1200 pounds worth of gear everywhere we go.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember doing that, like that switch over too. And I've talked about it a couple times on this show, and he was actually the one. Now for like a little bit of background,
right,
Jimmy is like analog. Jimmy is Mr. Analog. Like he comes off as like give me knobs, give me shit that I can just work with.
Yeah.
And he was the first one to get the Helix.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, I'm getting rid of my amps. This is great. And he brought it down and I was like, okay, well maybe I'll just get the HX effects because I love my head.
Yeah.
And then I did that and I was like, fuck, what am I doing? What am I doing? This is crazy. So I got that. But now he went and sold his Helix and he went and gets the quad and he's like, look at this thing. And I'm like, come on, man. I don't have this kind of budget.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the beautiful part about the quad though, is him having the budget means you don't need to.
Yeah.
Well, that means we got to start playing together. That's all.
There we go.
All right. I know
have Ableton. I have the quad.
Right.
There you go.
Match made in heaven. There we go.
I
literally just started learning Ableton. I'm going to say like 2 months ago, 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And it is a real pain in the keister.
Yeah.
Sure.
The learning curve for me, I was like, because I'm pretty efficient through Pro Tools. Like I can fly around and do what I need to. But getting on Ableton, I was like, dude, why? Like every time I drag a file in, all of a sudden it's sped up and sounds like chipmunks, and I don't know how to stop that. I'm like, this is just getting wild. Like I can't stand this program. But once, you know, a week or two of you know, some bad words had me figure out.
That's when language is important.
my descriptives over here. Yeah. And then
this is lousy.
Once I figured it out, you know, I legit texted Mark. I was like, dude, I figured it out, and this is incredible. Like, we don't have
that to. That was 2:30 a.m.
Of course it was.
It was awesome.
That's the hour of figuring things out, though. I mean, let's be honest.
It is.
I'm waiting to have, like, I've got the basic, like, okay, I can pull samples in, and I can play with MIDI, and I can record, which I hate the recording. I hate recording on it. But because I did Reaper for a while. I've been using Logic for years and stuff. So, but it's all, like, very similar to Pro Tools. Sure. I've used Pro Tools before, too. And, like, oh man, it is. I wrote a couple of songs in it, and I'm like, okay, this is cool. I'm gonna write a rock song in it, and I do a lot of program drums for like demoing and stuff. And like you said, I drag in some stuff, and I'm trying to program it, and it changes the speed. And I'm like, wait, why are you? No, I have my tempo set. This is awful. What are you doing?
Yeah,
why are you changing?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know,
right.
Plenty of YouTube tutorials for me. I was like, what the heck is warped and why is it always on?
Wait, so warp? I have to look
for why does the default setting suck?
Yeah.
Well, so I was looking at it in for a little while, like a buddy of mine, shout out to Joey DiMacco, Joey Nunn from Neon Skylines.
He's Wawa Tattoo.
He's the Wawa Tattoo guy. Shout out to him because he was the one who got me into the Ableton deal, and you know, he's been helping me along the way. But yeah, it just like I was looking at it in the set view, and I was just completely lost. I was like, where are my tracks? Give me tracks. That's all.
Yeah, I want. It took me a week to realize that that's not the only view in Ableton. I was like, oh, okay, this is so much easier.
Samesies.
Yeah.
Samesies.
Yeah. I, you know, it's like a button up in the top right that you don't really see. And I'm like, oh, that would be nice if they somehow highlighted that. So I wouldn't sit there bashing my head on the desk, you know?
My favorite is the, like, I have one of those super ultra wide monitors. So it's like the two screens in one width. And the hardest part that I've had in the software side of that is that everything is still anchored in your far left or far right corner the way that it normally would be. Oh, so you are literally searching, moving your physical head, going, why? Why?
That's incredible. That is so great.
We're very animated around here.
Not me.
Hey.
Yeah. I'm cool as a cucumber, baby.
Yeah,
I think I can
calmer than you, dude.
I can
calmer than you, dude.
The one thing that I can't get over, like I know I'll get over the dragging stuff in and it changing tempo and figuring that out. Like I know that's gonna be. I hate the mixing. You can't fix that. Like
Well, are you guys recording in Ableton or are you
just tracking?
I was gonna say just doing tracking there.
Okay. Yeah, I record. Well, Mark does with me too. Mark handles the vocals because I just don't like hearing the same things over 100 times. But
you're kidding, really?
we definitely. I can't like I think I would lose it if I had to record in Ableton. I use Logic or I'll use Pro Tools to do it quick.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no way. Like, just running our show in Ableton was hard enough to figure out. There's no way I'm going to figure out how to like properly edit and like mix things and Ableton. There's no way.
But there's not a better way to do the MIDI. For that side of things, it's hands down the only real option. So the work is worth it. Yeah, I say, like, it's the guy that didn't have to do it.
it took me a week to figure out how to move the whole view over to one side. You know what I mean? Like, there's a little box up top that you have to click and drag, or you can like hold command and blow it up bigger. And it's like, it's just so many little keyboard shortcuts that I've already figured out on Pro Tools that now I have to reteach myself and
relearn.
Yeah, you gotta get one of those keyboard covers that has it, like just for Ableton. You throw it down. They're all
the Ableton one is like $30. I was like, bull. I'll struggle. Fine, no problem.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay $30 to lose a week's worth of struggle.
Just use the Google.
What's wrong with
the Google machine?
Use the Google machine.
Because I just paid $600 for the freaking program.
There you go. There you go.
And that's not even the good one.
So 630 to not be frustrated.
If I have to put a DAW on a payment plan, I'm like, okay, something's going on.
Right. Dude, that's for me, like legit. When Pro Tools went to the subscription plan and they were no longer offering the perpetual license. Stopped offering that, I was like, okay, y'all figured it out. Just bend them all over.
Right,
just bend them all over.
Yeah.
$30 a month.
Yeah, yeah. That'll fix them.
Yeah.
That'll teach them.
You know, it's funny. Like, Waves did that. Waves did that for like a day. And everybody was like, you can't do this. Yeah. And they were like, okay, we won't. Okay, we're fixing it. Sorry.
I mean, I use the Universal Audio, you know, monthly thing, but I get so much use out of that I can justify it. But like Waves, I don't use enough Wave stuff. I use some Slate Digital stuff, but I, you know, it's not a ton. So I don't get into that monthly thing, but
yeah,
the monthly subscription stuff will eat your freaking butt up when it comes.
I hate subscription services. Oh, yeah. I hate them. Can I buy it?
Yeah. Can I just buy it?
I just want to buy it. Like, I don't want to.
Well, Joey even has one. He's got one. Well, he's got a ton, but like Joey has one for just samples. And right. It's cool. Like, it's cool. I don't even remember what it's called, but you literally go, oh, I want a sound of a chain dropping on the ground. You just chain dropping on the ground.
Something?
It's like, splice.
Yeah.
And out come like 100 samples of it. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to see which one. Okay, you just pull it and then you own it forever.
Chains right. and different.
Right.
But then it's like, you can get that easily.
I need a chain dropping in F sharp.
Yes, right. Yes.
But you can get that for the low, low price of $30 a month.
Yeah.
For a chain drop.
I think Splice does credits, and it's like, it works out to be like a dollar something a credit. So it's like, I literally paid a dollar to have you drop a chain and record it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get to an age where you go to play a song on Spotify and it's going to not play because it's going to be like, we can't find all the sounds that should be playing on this song.
Bro.
Because you don't have all the subscriptions that you need. Everybody's going to have to pay some stupid thing because they're going to be like, I'm sorry, we don't have the chain drop. You don't have the chain drop sound, so we can't open this file for you.
Yeah,
like, it's going to look like an insurance policy where you have to pay them X number of dollars before they'll actually let you have access to, and it's going to be tiered. So like when you get to 10 grand,
right.
Then you get the super special picture of P. Diddy's butthole.
Yeah, you can have it after this ad.
First P. Diddy joke. There we go.
Yes. Yes.
Everybody knows that picture is going around.
I don't know if it was him or Drake, whichever one was all over Twitter. I think
it was Drake. No, you're right. Oh my gosh. Good Lord. I just threw that meme up.
I couldn't even open up Twitter without seeing something. I'm like, bro.
P. Diddy's the one that has the picture of Drake's butt.
This man knows. He understands. Yeah. He understands the landscape.
Well, speaking of Drake's butthole.
Yeah.
I love it when my kids come to shows.
Yeah. That's the segue.
I like, yeah, I don't, that segue is a little rough. I like, it's a little different.
Well done.
That's good, right?
Well done.
I saw the end. Here we go.
Oh my gosh.
That gets one of these.
Melon, there you go.
You got to squat and you got to bear the fangs same time.
Yeah, that was my segue right there. I was thinking about not doing it, but then I was like, no, I got.
Oh, so you had that in the chamber for a while. You were holding on to that.
For when we started talking about butthole.
Right. Okay.
I thought it was gonna be P. Diddy's butthole, but then I changed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I switched it.
So you were mulling that over.
Yes.
This is the Blink-182. Yes,
yeah.
Blink-182 has entered the chat.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly.
Tom.
Hey, we didn't bring it up.
Okay.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Dawn Brody, a comedian with a history degree and the host of the podcast HILF, History I'd Like to Fuck. Each episode, I am joined by a new guest who has brought me a subject from history that they want to know more about. Then I hit the books, I dig deep in the annals, and stimulate. We've covered Frankenstein, Houdini, Joan of Arc, Pompeii, the Salem witch trials, right? Ugh. Join us and find out for yourself that history is a party and everybody's coming.
What's up, fam?
Yeah.
Bacon listeners? Ever wanted to help out the show? Ever wanted to know a little bit more about what goes on behind the scenes here at Bacon?
Perhaps keep these glasses a little bit fuller.
Mine's empty.
Yeah. Go over to patreon.com/baconismypodcast where you can get additional content, including tastings.
Yeah, you can get cooking shows.
You can get early ad-free shows.
That's right.
And at even the lowest tier, come participate with us every week in our discussion and drinks episode, where we hang out with you, our BIM squad.
You're a part of the show. Join us, hang out, weigh in on everything that we're talking about, weigh in on everything, maybe be a part of the show.
Exactly.
It's happened.
Join the BIM squad.
Yeah.
Get your first week for free over at patreon.com/baconismapodcast.
What's all bacon?
Back to your kids?
Yeah. No. We were talking before about how Chris's kids came to the show last night, which is pretty awesome.
Yes. Yeah.
And I remember, actually, my son was like one and change the first show he came to. And then my daughter came to another show where I think you guys played. It was like an outdoor festival.
Okay.
And she was like two. And then COVID happened. And
then they were five.
Right. Yeah. Right. Now here they are. They're like going to be 8 and 11. Right. And it's like. Yeah. Man, I want him to come to a show, but we don't play like I'm in a band that's like heavier, that's not going to be asked to play an outdoor festival and stuff.
Right.
So like what kind of venue was it that you guys played that that allowed for kids to come in? And how like, Mark, do you have kids or
I don't have kids. Okay. I'm the favorite uncle. I'm the youngest of four boys, and so I filled that role. I do have a significant other, and we are heading in that direction. But I'm a man child, and kids can like smell it on me, right. And they just treat me like a kid, and I treat them like a kid back. So
I don't ask this in that like that relative going, when are your kids coming?
right.
No, when your kids come,
I've
Mark?
Got,
when
I don't have any either.
I don't
have any either, so I'm the I'm the buddy uncle that comes by. I'm Jimmy Tattoo.
To my kids, he's Jimmy Tattoo. So Chris, this is your first time having the kids there, and like what was that experience like?
I mean my wife kind of popped it on me out of nowhere. She's like, Where are y'all playing? And I told her, it's this place here in Fort Worth area called Haltom Theater, and it's like one of the last all ages venues around here. We're in this weird slump of local venues where everything's just closing because tribute bands, you know, they make more than original music, so nobody really cares to go to your shows.
That's happening up here too.
I think it's every.
But yeah, she just kind of out of nowhere was like, "Hey, you know, where's your show?" And well, okay, we'll be there. I think our set time was like 3:55 or something, and she was like, "Okay, you know, we'll be there at 3:40." So that was cool. But yeah, I don't know. This has been such a huge part of my life since I was like 14 years old, and it was like kind of cool for them to finally see, like, not just me sitting in my office playing guitar, but like doing what we do.
Right, right.
You know, and like the full experience. It was really cool. I had one of them, twins, obviously. I had one of them that was like chasing the lighting that was shooting across the floor, all about it. And then I had one that was just kind of hanging out watching, you know. So I don't know. It was really cool. It's probably, even though we lost that battle of the bands, right, like, it made it all good, you know, and I was totally okay with like just going home and not being upset about losing.
You won.
Yeah.
Way more.
In the most dad way possible. Like, that was the coolest thing. Was like, I won because of that.
Hell yeah. My girlfriend was telling me that night, she was like, "Okay, twins in the audience, Chris, is best Chris." And I was like, "Yeah, you're not wrong."
Our photographer said the same thing. She's like, "You have to bring them everywhere because like I'm getting expressions out of you." And I was like, "No, I don't. No, I'm good. I don't want to do that."
Yeah, I actually, like, the first show, my son was like super young and he just didn't know what the heck was going on. He went to Evenflow,
right,
for a show that we did. And then the second one was where my daughter, she is like, she's got the star thing. Like, she's going to do something. But like, dude, she was just running around and I had a wireless. I came down and I started playing and she was just like, "What is happening?" And my son was of the age where he was kind of like, "Oh, this is, dad's kind of cool." And I was like, "Believe me, I'm not. I'm still the same guy.
Hold on to that for the next few years, because it's only going to be a few."
But now my wife has been saying, my wife Jen, she's been saying for a little while, she's like, "We need to get VFW Hall. Like we need to do another VFW show, or like, you know, those like,
Moose Lodge, those
all ages, like Moose Lodges, that kind of stuff." And I know for a while they were getting shut down. Like, they were like, "No, we're not even going to do it because, sorry, hardcore kids, you fucking ruined everything."
Oh yeah.
Swear jar. Sorry.
It's so true.
Swear jar.
It's the same way here. Like, some of the best shows I remember growing up to was at VFWs.
Yeah. Then,
of course, like, hardcore kids had, you know, started tearing their ceiling down or punching holes in the walls. Yeah. And
right,
all of a sudden we couldn't get deposits back and we couldn't even get people to let us rent stuff. So
right, they wouldn't even take you.
Yeah. It's tough because those, like, like, for me, there's nothing better than, like, the intimacy of a floor show. I don't like being above my audience. I'm a pop punk kid, you know what I mean? Like, being on that level and just, like, feeling that energy coming from the musicians 5 feet in front of me. Like, that's huge for me as an audience member. And so, like, that's the hard part about it. Metal kids, we love you. We are one of you as well. But, dude, they just tore those places up.
Yeah,
the racks were just everywhere, ceiling tiles, and like, I just, you know.
Yeah, it was like
end of an era.
Are you not having fun? Do you not want to do this again?
Yeah.
Like, what about this made you so mad?
Yeah.
One of the first shows.
You tonight, I went and saw my favorite band. They were right in front of me. All my friends were there. Did you have a good time? Yeah, I tore the ceiling down and I ripped up the seats. Yeah. We can never do it again.
On fire.
We played one of my old bands played a show the night after Terror, and they had to wait to open the venue to patch things up.
I remember that
because they were pulling the asbestos tiles off the floor, and throwing them at each other and throwing them at the wall. And I was like, "Are you serious? We have to push the show back 2 or 3 hours because they were pulling asbestos tiles off the floor."
Was it a Terror show or was it a Philly football game? And they won.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of both.
One of the craziest things I saw, speaking of Philly, was I'm a big baseball guy. And this year, or last year, I guess, when they were playing the Cardinals – you were seeing people coming out of the stadium, like you would think that somebody had murdered their kids. Like they were so pissed off.
Yeah.
At a baseball team. They're like, this is trash. Sell the team. This is stupid. We're not getting anywhere.
Sell the team.
Like, guys, good Lord. Like, I guess Philly just because it, you know, you saw it earlier in the year with Jason Kelce and like the whole, I'm a big sports guy.
Yeah.
But like the whole NFL and the Phillies losing, you know, and just, or not the Phillies, the Eagles. And like, it was just kind of wild.
Philly's a weird place. Philly's a weird place, man. They got a statue of a guy that wasn't real.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. Like, I think it's interesting, and I think it actually speaks. I think it speaks to culture because, especially this generation, we value our escapism, right? Yeah, video games, movies, music, TV shows, streaming services—like all of these things are where so many people invest their disposable income, which. Over the last however many years, that is no longer a term that applies to anybody. Right. But like that's where we spend our money and therefore where we end up spending a lot of our time. And so like the investments that we make in those, we end up seeing responses like when bands change a genre or when, you know, a team moves to a different city or they have a bad decision in the front office that affects their you know, field performance or a record label goes under or a downtown venue. It's, you know, gentrified out of existence. Like all of these things affect us in a very visceral way. It's deep inside and it's hard to explain why we're feeling that. And Philly feels it more than we do.
I think there's a lot of ownership in there. And like you said, it's because we're spending, you know, we're spending our whatever extra income we have. And the less of it that's disposable, the more of it becomes like, I put my money into this and like didn't eat today, you know, like making those kind of choices, like is it a new record or is it dinner today? And I'll make this choice today. And so there's probably just a lot more of that, like, and people are just mad
that too,
just, you know, just angry
in general. People are more mad these days.
I also think that because music has been kind of lowered, unfortunately, on the tier list of importance for people.
Sure.
It's become more like background music.
Yeah.
I think you have less people that are connecting on a deep level with music. And that was a place where a lot of that got out before.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you would find the songs that you would like blast in your room and you would like punch your mattress and you'd get really angry and you'd, you know, that would be your thing. But you don't have that now. And so where does that go?
Well, yeah.
You know? And I think it's, I really do. Like, I think that that's more than people realize just because music is not background music. We're not living in a movie. Music
I think that that's lost on a lot of people because we grew up in like a generation where we remember when an album was coming out, it was like, man, I can't wait to get out from school so I can go to the store and buy this record I can sit there and listen to it.
I'm gonna buy it at midnight.
Now it's just like, all right, well, it's on my feed at midnight. So cool,
dude. I don't think I'm the only one in this chat right now that has cried when a plastic CD broke.
Because you lost
that music. You lost it. You had to go farm up another $17. To go buy it again, you know, it's like
some of us had a couple of extra wall stickers sitting around. You know what I'm saying?
But that's like that's a thing that the current generation doesn't really know about because the music is, you know, it's everywhere, it's free, and then the market's so saturated. I'm not taking any shots at anybody that does digital production or anything like that, but it's so easy to make music now that everybody can make it. And the truly inspiring or truly touching and meaningful music is harder to find. And then there's so many plants in the industry. And how do you suss those out?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's true. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, it used to be like, and I still remember like part of my like growing up was going into a music store and going over to the listening stations and finding a new artist. And then you'd find that artist and you'd pay money for it because you'd be like, I'm taking this home. I like this.
Here's 13 bucks.
Yeah. And
you know, new favorite band.
Those things. And now now I don't have to part with $13 when I really like something. I just punch the heart and it's automatically I have everything. You know,
I buy one album worth of dollars and I have access to everything.
Yeah. Every month.
Well, and if I were to buy a CD, I would listen to it immediately. Now, if I like something, I can push, you know, follow. And then maybe I don't even listen to what I was listening to for a week or a month, or, you know, I go to work and I forget about it because I don't have that thing. And I didn't just spend money on it, so I don't have to listen to it now, and I don't have to listen to it from front to back. You know, it's the experience is completely different, and it's less intimate. And it's
Something that I will say too.
Valuable.
I learned actually, for, believe it or not, at doing a paranormal investigation when we had former guest Dave Schrader on the show. He was actually at that paranormal investigation. He was explaining to us that. When something comes out on streaming, be it an album, be it a TV show, be it whatever it is, movie, anything, the first 2 days are super, super, super important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so many people, because they're not spending money on it, means that they can go, all right, well, cool. I'll watch it when I get a chance.
Yeah, save it to my list and I'll watch
it. And I'll get to it because you're so involved in some other thing. He said, once the 2 or 3 days pass, that's it. Like if it's it's not considered successful if it doesn't hit a million streams in the first 2 or 3 days. Like that's it. So you're done. You're dead in the water.
Yeah.
We learned with Echoes, we've always been told to push pre-saves like crazy because that's what counts. The pre-saves in the first week.
Sure.
And we had a ton. We had quite a bit. And then it did okay for the first like 2 or 3 days. And we still, you know, Spotify's a funny thing. Like, I don't know how to get stuff on the editorial playlist. Like, I think we hit like 200 individual playlists, but we can never crack the Spotify code. And then I don't know how I learned it, but somebody had said, even if you have all those pre-saves, if those people don't go listen to the song in the first 2 days,
bingo,
then it doesn't register with Spotify.
Yeah.
I mean, it, you know, it doesn't hit them like it should. And that's just so weird because I remember growing up and buying the CDs, and it doesn't matter if you listen to the CD or not. It was still a sold CD, so it counted towards the sound scans. But it's just the music world is so different now, and it's harder, and I don't know. Let's just go back to MySpace. It was a lot easier.
It's so funny. Like from I'm sure like Chris and Mark, you could both probably feel the same way. Like now it's so awesome because I remember having to save up thousands of dollars to get into a recording studio so this way we could record our songs that we worked on. And then there was this time where it was like, oh well, this doesn't seem that far out of reach. I could start doing this myself. And then the second we get our stuff together, where we're like, cool, we could do this. Then the rest of the industry changes and they're like, cool. Well, so can everybody else.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, so come on.
That's that right there is absolutely true. And then can I tell a name drop side story real quick? That's relevant.
Go for it.
Okay, so my brother was going to university with several of the guys in Forever the Sickest Kids, and my brother was one of the very first bands that their producer Jeff Rockwell had ever recorded in his entire engineering history. So my brother's band was still actively recording with him as a longtime homie, and then they went from having studio time scheduled with him and in the process of working with him, then Forever the Sickest Kids blows up.
Right.
explodes everywhere, and Universal now has Jeff working for them. And so you've got this other, you know, like everybody who was in the studio with Jeff, he's looking at his business, you know, and his future production and his, you know, his business model and income. And it's like, okay, what do I do with all of these artists that I was working with? Right. And then I've got all of this other work that Universal is wanting me to do. They want me to fly out and sit in a studio and help write records, you know, and all of these other things. And so we saw that happen not only in the landscape of what can we do from home, but also the guys that were in this, that were running the studios, yeah, like they right. saw and felt that impact too, because it just completely changed the entire landscape of things. And yeah. MySpace right there at the front, sitting here going, let's change the way that people find and consume music. And then that ends up leading to the streaming services down the road. And the whole network, just all the way down, completely revolutionized. And the studios were never the same after that either, because now yeah. these guys in the professional studios are using the same software that you can use at home. So it's like, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy.
It's wild. True. Things are changing, aren't yeah. they?
Things have changed yeah. and nobody knows how to pay anybody for yeah. it.
What I do want to say is you guys have done it. You've made it through an episode where we haven't. Ooh. You see, we have this. We have an iPad here.
Yes.
And we have questions and things.
I have some questions and things on the iPad. Yeah.
We didn't have to use any of them. And that
and
is
that's how we like it. That's how we like
a good guess.
And it's funny. It's funny that this ends up being me and him, because Steve's like real concise and like,
yeah,
he gives you the answers that you want to hear, but it's like real, he's a better public speaker. Mark and I will just talk to everybody forever.
Forever. See, I was prepared to try and break Steve a little bit, you know, yeah. like talk about Steve Stanley and the Mercs and like try and figure out little things to do in there. But then a lot of the stuff was like, okay, if Mark's on, then we're going to talk about, you know, Butterbeer. So, we're going to talk about we're talking about the Blue album from Weezer. We're going to talk about all these things. Oh. We didn't have to go anywhere.
Yeah.
We didn't have to do any yeah. of that.
Which also means
we can do this again.
We got to have you guys again. So
I was door about is open. To say, boys.
The door is open.
Yes.
So
I'd like to do it again.
Cool.
Yeah.
Steve Stanley and the Mercs is further north, just with an entirely different sound.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. It's the same five guys.
Nice.
If you're listening to the podcast and you'd like to hear like the acoustic pop punk version of the same style of writing, Steve Stanley and the Mercs on all major streaming yeah. services.
It is on all major streaming services as well.
We had to rearrange three of the songs for the first year yep. of the band because we didn't have enough music to play shows.
Nice.
So we stole Steve Stanley and the Mercs songs and just kind of made them electric.
That's yeah. awesome. Sometimes you do that.
Reimagine. Yeah. That's what you got to do. So guys, before we head out here, let everybody know where they can find everything going on for further north.
Yeah.
And, you know, your tour coming up here yeah. in the summer.
Where can they find everything?
At Further North TX on all of your major social media sites, Further Space North on all your streaming services, and coming to a town near you if you're in the Midwest, please follow the socials for any updates. Hit the like and subscribe. Oh, wait, no, that's...
YouTube. Which you should.
You should. You can hit the like and subscribe.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. Don't do that.
And if you'd like to learn how to hit the like and subscribe, I'd like to tell you about our sponsor, Skillshare.
And don't forget to shave your beans with Manscaped.
Hell yeah.
Every single time, it's a Manscaped 2.0 commercial.
No.
Lawnmower 17.0, bro. Dude.
Right. Hey. Let's.
So we just.
5.0 yeah. right here.
Promo code bacon. Bacon pod. 20% off. Free shipping.
See? Make your beans spell nice.
This dude knows what's up.
Yeah, buddy.
It's breathtaking. Breathtaking. Sean Scrotum.
at every at the end of every set that we play, my brother kind of sends out our motto, our calling card. Do you guys mind if I share that?
Please do.
Please do.
So we live in a really divisive world, and it's tough every single day, and people don't hear this enough. So we want you, the listener out there, we want you to know that you are important. You deserve dignity. You deserve respect. We don't care what color your skin is, your hair. We don't care who you love. We don't care who you want to spend your life with or who you pray to. You deserve love and respect. We care about you. We love about you. And we want you to be able to reach out to us if you need to talk to somebody. All of our socials, we handle our own DMs. So if you're dealing with something and you need to talk to somebody, we can be those people for you. So Further North cares about you, and keep waking up breathing.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
There's no better way to end this than.
Yeah. Except for our mantra. Our mantra is very similar.
It is very similar.
Yeah.
What is that thing in your life that could be a topping, a side, or a main course? What is that thing that makes your day better? What makes it better and easier for you to get through all the hard parts of the day? What is it? Sometimes it's music. I think for Chris, you could say that it's his children being at a show was his. It could be video games. It could be anything. What is it for you? What's your bacon?
What's your dude? That's I was wondering before we got started, like, what is the Bacon Is My Podcast? It's such a unique name, but with that context, it's perfect.
It was sizzling.
That's Thank the you. End. That's how it ends.
Yeah, that is awesome. Roll credits, boys.
Further North. I almost called them Point North at the end.
I know. I was like, I just let that go though. I didn't draw attention to it.
I might go see them. They're playing locally. So
cool.
That'd be great. If I can. If I can't, it's all right. But yeah, these guys are great.
They were great.
A lot of cool conversation. I know some of it went a little bit in the weeds for some of the regular.
Yeah, but you know what? Music, I mean, you gotta do that sometimes. People,
but I hope some of you took something from it. Especially some of this, you know, the releasing music and the evolution of releasing music and recording and all that kind of stuff. I hope some of you take something from it, because it has changed a lot. And now, you know, especially with the way music has gone and the way shows have gone and the way this is, and you know, like, all these things that we say to you, the it costs you nothing to click like, subscribe, follow, this, that, the other. It's really important to us.
Important to us on like a personal level where it's like we feel good. It's like it's literally the only way that we're able to do this.
Right.
and have it work. You know what
exactly.
I mean? So so it is super helpful. So
yeah, we got some new news about their tour coming up. Mm-hmm. So if you're in the Midwest, go check them out.
Yeah. All my Chicago and Indiana peeps.
Yeah. Go check out Further North. Mm-hmm. Check out their new single Echo. It's fantastic. They shout out Waffle House.
They do.
Yeah. And Jimmy, where can find you and your things?
Jimmy G Shoes on all the socials, bands Craving Strange, cravingstrange.net. You can find all of our stuff there. We're going to be releasing music. We're going to be playing some shows. Who knows? Who knows what we're going to be doing?
Just doing things and stuff and stuff. And
jump on there and check it out, and you'll be able to see it. Yep. Go to baconismypodcast.com for all your Bacon Is My Podcast needs, which include t-shirts, merch. You want to get in touch with us, you can do that over there. You can check out Bacon Is My Fashion, mm-hmm. you know, like I said, for the shirts.
Check out some Bacon Is My Passion.
Mm-hmm. That was the other thing I was going to say. Yep, that's what I, yeah. Check out some Bacon Is My Passion.
I saw you struggling to grab it.
I was like.
It was like there.
Right
like,
there, and I went back to shirts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but thank you. I appreciate the assist.
Hey, that's what I do here.
So yeah, where can they find you? What else do you do?
I'm not the talent here. This guy is. So I just, you know, give the extra. No.
Right. You're just there for the push.
I'm just there for the push.
Just needs it.
Me personally, I am at my own self, Mike. It's where you can find all the things going on in my realm of existence. And my band is Something Heavy at Something Heavy Music. We got a show coming up in June with some friends.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe
we're on it.
He's on it. And some buddies of ours off the turnpike.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
And Revel in the Nine.
Yeah.
Revel in the Nines are always a good time.
It's gonna be like a sandbox show. Like
it's back in the day. Like a back show. In the day sandbox show. Yeah, I don't exciting. Know what we're doing for bass player yet, because Joey's not home. Joey's in Dominican Republic right now.
Oh man.
Yeah. Lucky him. So when he comes back, I'll ask him. If not, guess what? White Stripes.
White Stripes. Something
heavy.
Well, I'll tell you what, I saw a band the other night that had the singer on tracks.
Oh.
First time I've ever seen that.
Okay.
So, I mean, if that works, you can always feel bass on some tracks.
Right. Exactly. So, we'll see, though. But, yeah, we got another single coming out quite soon. It's a cover with my buddy Joey's band. Neon Skyline, their amazing singer, Julia. We got a little cover, a little Alexis on Fire. So yeah,
it's awesome.
It's coming soon. It's coming soon. I got to finish mixing it. I won't be able to do it this week. Next week I'll be.
I don't know if we're probably not going to be releasing our song
by June.
By June.
That's unfortunate.
It'll be ready, but we're getting too close to where we would need to start the process of pre-promotion and all that kind of stuff needs to be happening now for that to, for us to do anything more than just kind of put it out for our friends. Mm. So unfortunately, I think we're missing the window, so we won't be able to have that for June.
Okay.
But I don't know, maybe we'll figure out something to do for locals, for people here, or maybe for the people on our Patreon.
Patreon.com/...
Bacon is my podcast.
Yes. You got it. I didn't change it.
Yeah.
I didn't change it.
We didn't change it this time.
No, I didn't change it this time. You jerk.
So that's why I got it. For once, it was the same two times in a row.
Check out Further North.
Yeah, definitely.
Check out his music. Check out some of my music.
Yes.
Check out more Bacon is my podcast. Wherever you're at, give us a like, give us a subscribe, give us those reviews, whether you like it or not. Give us a reason why you do.
Hashtag what's your bacon. Stay in the conversation with us. Let us know what you like and what you don't.
All the socials at Bacon is my pod. And we should end this.
Yeah. What's your bacon?
Peace.